was, you know, have the opportunity to share it here. I said, oh yeah, you know, there's a lot of young people here, and they really, you know, got this hunger for God, and they all serve in the music team, and I think it's a great thing. When you have young people hungry for God, it's just one thing that's going to happen is the presence of God descend right here. Because the Bible says this, you know, the Father God enthroned on the praises of Israel. So when you praise Him, when you worship Him, guess what He's going to do? He's just going to sit down. So in your circumstances, whether it's challenges that you face or difficulties you face, when you praise and worship Him, He's just going to sit down where you're at. Isn't that good? All glory to God. So when I told my wife about you guys, so she decided to come and join me this time. She don't usually come with me when I go minister, so she's here to check you out. I'm only joking. So before I get onto the message, I just want to share. Just let me test this thing. Okay. All right, cool. I'm going to share the message on parable of the talents. But during the worship time, I felt the Holy Spirit, you know, just urging me to say this to some of you. I don't know who's it for, but you'll know when you hear it. One time when I was preaching, God gave me a revelation. The revelation that I received wasn't even related to the message that I was preaching on. And then it was about when Jesus Christ come to John the Baptist to get baptized. You know that story, right? And, you know, John the Baptist said to Jesus, he said, hang on a minute, I'm not worthy to baptize you. And then, but Jesus said, let's fulfill all righteousness. That's what he said. So they went ahead with the baptism. And we know what happened afterwards. When Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened up. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove onto Jesus. Now, may I just point out, descended like a dove. The Holy Spirit is not a dove, okay? So therefore, it's gracefully and gentle like a dove arrived, you know, landed on Jesus. And there is a voice from heaven that says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And I said, gee, God, Holy Spirit, why are you telling me this during the middle of my sermon? Now, this has happened all in a flash, all right? It take me like a couple of minutes to explain all this, but it is all happening, you know, in just a millisecond. And inside of me, I just said, God, what are you saying? And he said to me this is, what has Jesus accomplished at that time? I said, he hasn't walked on water yet. He hasn't turned water into wine yet. He hasn't preached the Sermon of the Mount yet. He hasn't healed the sick. Well, at least there's no record of it. Healed the sick or opened the blind eye to see or the deaf ears open. None of that happens yet. As a matter of fact, he hasn't even gone into the 40-day fast into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And I said, God, why did you tell me this? And then God said to me, you say, he is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You no longer need to earn my love. You are already a beloved Son. And some of you here today need to hear this, that you are a beloved Son in whom God is well pleased with you, not because what you have done, what you have accomplished, or all these credentials that you have, all this character that goes behind your name. It is because of who you are in Christ that you are called to be a son. And that is your identity. So what does it mean? And when I received that revelation, almost cried on that stage when I was preaching, because I was set free that day. That no longer I need to rely on my performance to earn anyone's love, because I am already in love. That what does it mean? It means that I can be bold. It means that I can fail I can preach and I can minister in a different church and completely stuff up. But I am still in love. I am still the beloved son. And you are the beloved son. Because the Bible said, in perfect love, it casts out fear. So there is no fear anymore. We don't have to be fearful because He is a loving Father. And it is on that note I'm telling you about the parable of the talents. Let's read the scripture here. Can you all see this? Can we read this together? This is NIV version. On three, all right? One, two, three. It'll be as when a man who was going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possession to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to a third one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately the one who received five talents went and traded with them and made another five. Likewise, the one who received two made another two. But the one who received one went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. To the one who received five talents came forward bringing the additional five. He said, "Master, you gave me five talents. See, I have made five more." His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibility. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received two talents also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two talents. See, I have made two more." His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibility. Come and share your master's joy." Then the one who had received one talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talents in the ground. Here it is back." His master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. Should you not then have put my money in the bank so that I could have got it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him, give it to the one with 10. To everyone who has, more will be given. He will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw these useless servants in the darkness outside where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." We'll stop it here. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let the word of truth today be sown in good soil, yes, that it will root and sprout and bring forth a harvest 20, 30, 60, and 100-fold in this place, Lord God, and ignite the passion to do the work of the ministry in this church, to reach out, to bring revival in this place, because, Lord God, that you're going to use this Life Solution Church to reach out to multitude in the community so that people can hear the solution of life, which is Jesus Christ. And, Lord God, use this church for your glory in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background before I talk about parable of the talents, you know. The parable of the talents is actually captured in Matthew 25, right? And before Matthew 25, there is Matthew 24. I know that's very profound revelation that I just gave you. Now, in Matthew 24, Jesus started to talk about the end time, the signs that is yet to come. He gave us four signs about what about to happen before the second coming of the Lord. And then he talked about, after that, he talked about the parable of the fig trees. Now, I hear people, you know, in the Christian circles, they say, so, oh, you know, the Lord can come back any day. Or, you know, we don't know when the world's going to end. But that's not true. For the unsafe, or the people that who doesn't know the truth, doesn't know when it was going to be. But for us Christians, we got given signs for things that will happen. So even though we may not know the day, the hours, or the week, when's it going to happen, but by the season, by the events that's happening around the world, we'll be able to tell that the coming of the Lord is near. And we are in the end time right now. And then Jesus is then talk about the parable of the 10 virgins. I mean, you all know about that if you have been, you know, in Sunday school before. There is 10 virgins, you know, 5 is very smart with the oils and 5 is not so smart without oil. They run out and the time of the least suddenly come. There is a complacency in their heart and thinking that everything should be right, mate. You know, the, you know, indifference mentality. You know, some of us being in Australia, you know, kind of adopted that. You know, I'm adopted a little bit of that too. I was just like, oh, I should be right, mate. You know, plenty of time. But Jesus said there will be a time when it comes and they won't even know when it is. But us, we will know the season because we know the scripture. We have the word of God. It is on that basis, the parable of talents is actually shared. And Jesus started to talk about the parable of the talents. So when you hear this sermon, I want you to think about it is in that context that Jesus is talking about the parable of talents. There will be a time Jesus will look at what you have done with the blessings and the talents that God has given you. And if you have put it to good use, there will be reward. And if you haven't put it to good use, well, you are responsible for all the blessing God has given you. You know, there's a lot of time that, you know, we chase after things of this world that is temporary. I'm guilty of that too. About, you know, the riches of this world, about our career, about, you know, our wealth or pleasure, about, you know, going on holidays, which is good. I mean, nothing wrong with going on holidays. I mean, I'll go on holidays too, right? But if all our minds are set on those things and not on things above that will last eternal, time is running out. And there will be a time, and after the parable of the talents, Jesus talked about the sheep and the goat, where the sheep will go on the right and the goats will go on the left. There will be a segregation. Now, I'll put that in my... You think about what you're going to do about that when I finish my preaching today. Now, I don't know about you. I am surrounded by very talented people. Now, our common friend, you know, Pastor Stephen Teo. Yeah, most of you probably, he's been here before, I assume. And he's a very talented man. I mean, he's my mentor, so I learn a lot from him. You know, he used to be a CEO of a major international corporation for insurance. And then if that wasn't enough, he quit his job and he's got his theology and then become a pastor. And if that wasn't enough, in his late 50s, he went ahead, you know, and studied a law degree. Now he's a practice lawyer, a family lawyer. You're thinking, gee, you know, at 60s, I'll be thinking about retirement, you know, driving around in a caravan, probably, you know, living the Australia dreams. But he just kept going. He's a very talented man. And then, you know, you come into people like Pastor Calvin, you know, he's just like, he quit, you know, the big churches and start up these new churches, you know. He speaks so well. I've been, you know, listening to some of his sermons on the web. Suss him out, you know. Very talented man. And me, you know, I have a beautiful wife, Nicole, with me today, and she's a very talented woman. The church that we run, I mean, she basically run the whole show, you know. I get all the glory, but she runs the whole show, yeah. I was giving her honor right now, right? But, you know, she used to be like top student in the class, you know, always number one academically. But the Bible did say first will become last. You know, I used to be last in the class. And the class that I was in was the last of the year. Now, I'm not dumb or anything like that, or intellectually incompetent, because, you know, I spent all my energy training to swim. You know, I used to train swimming in the morning and in the afternoon. I want to be living my Olympic dreams, you know. But then one day I realized no matter how hard I train, there is limitation, you know. And so therefore I stopped. But that back then, I was thinking about, well, yeah, you know, I'm just going to go to the Olympic. I was in Hong Kong at the time, you know. I attended a good school, you know, one of the top schools in Hong Kong, right? You know, I can imagine the conversation that goes on in the principal office to say, gee, this guy's failed every subject, you know. He's dumb, you know. But he wins a lot of medals and championship cups for the school. Oh, we keep him. So first we have to marry the last, so the last will become first. I love saying this when I'm on the pulpit, when my wife is around, because there's nothing she can do about it. Well, I'll pay for it later. But I'm surrounded by people who are talented. But they are people, though, at the church who just seat warmers, unwilling to put their talents to work. They just say, man, I don't have talents like Pastor Calvin. I don't have talents like so-and-so. I hide my talents. I will not put it to use. Have you seen people like that? Obviously, none of you guys are doing that, right? I mean, this is Life Solution Church, seriously. When I was praying to God for deeper revelations about this scripture, and I said, God, give me something so I can share this with the people that you love, to ignite that passion within them. And God gave me this vision about an orchestra. I mean, you all love music, yeah. And I remember, you know, music really bring things alive. You know, God created, you know, the Creator God gives us this ability to create music, you know. So therefore, we can enjoy the music. I still remember when we watch a movie, without music, it would be boring, right? You know, one of the movies that has the most impression in my life is Jaws. Yeah, even just two notes, and that was enough. And then I will not go into the sea because of that. You know, I was terrified of the sharks. But music can bring things alive. All right. So I'm going to use this as an example, an illustration about parable of the talents. So in normal orchestra, I mean, I did a little bit googling about orchestra. There isn't an upper limit of how many people can be in orchestra. So it can be 1,000 if it needs to be. But in general, it's about 80 to 100. So even in the days of Solomon, you know, we read the Bible, there's like 4,000 musicians, they're worshiping God day and night, night and day. You know, imagine they just split into three shift patterns and then there'll be like 1,000 musicians worshiping God at the time. How awesome would it be, right? But in a typical classical orchestra, there is four sessions. There is the string instruments, and you got your violin and the viola and the cello and the double bass. And behind that, you have the woodwind sections, which is, you know, the flutes, the clarinet, and so forth. And then behind that, that you have the brass section, which is, you know, the French horns, the trumpets, the trombones, and so forth. And right at the back on the far corner there, you get all the percussions instruments, you know, because they tend to be a little bit loud, you know. But they're awesome, right? The drummer was awesome today. Awesome, man. There is like the drums, the gongs, the, you know, all those percussion instruments. But last but not least, the triangle. But no one wanted to be a triangle guy, you know. Everyone wanted to be the violinist. When the conductor comes into the on the stage, you know, the audience give a standing ovation, and then the lead violinists get to shake the hands on the conductor. Everyone wants to be that guy. Even if I don't get to shake the hands, I want to be the first violinist. Even if I'm not the first violinist, at least I'll get to play the trumpet because people recognize the sound of the trumpet or even the flute. I don't want to be the triangle guy because you've got to wait for the whole song and then you go, ding. And if you miss the ding, then you stick out like a sore thumb. Man, I don't want to be that guy. But the thing is, this is what God gave me these revelations about using the orchestra, and I feel it speaks to me, and hopefully it speaks to you too. And it's like when we learn the music, it's like the word of God, the principle of God, you know, in this scenario. But the understanding of the word of God must be expressed through a gift, a talent. So I'm a little bit of a teacher, you know. I've got a little teaching gift that I have. And then when I study the Word of God, I look for ways to express the Word of God the simplest way so that people can understand the deep meaning of the Word of God. But I'm expressing the understanding of the Word through this gift that I'm using right now. And if you're a pastor and you've got a heart for people, you're using the word of God and then speak into people's lives and then to edify the church, to build up and equip and to establish the church, the body of Christ, right? And if you're an evangelist, you're using the principle of God, the word of God, to speak hope into a situation, to speak to the people in the darkness so that they find light at the end of the tunnel. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're a prophet, you're using the word of God, the principle of God, and speaking to the situation so the situation can turn around and you can warn people about the things that they're not doing right, using the principle of God. So the word of God must be expressed through a gift. But if you don't exercise the gift, there is nowhere, no places for you to express the word of God. And then if you don't express it through the what's going on inside, then you become a dam, you know, a lake. You become a dam Christian. Last time I asked who is a fisherman in this church, right? I don't know if you recall or not when you were here last time. Any more new fishermen in this place? Oh, you give up. I'll pray for you, Pastor. Well, you know, the disciples are fishermen. Fishers are men. Yeah, there you go. Very good. But, you know, us inland fishermen, you know, when we fish for trout, do you know what we look for? We look for rapids. Rapids. Where the river flow fast. When there's like white water. You know why? Because the trout is waiting right at the bottom to ambush anything that flow from upstream. So when we fish, we cast the lure, you know, on the upstream of the rapid. And then as it flows down, the fish, the trout will go boom, and then ambush the prey, and then fish on, and then you just get it in, right? What I'm trying to say is this: where there's a flow, there is life. Where there's no flow, there is no life. Just carb. You know, carb is an inferior species that introduced from Europe that destroy our native surrounding. It's true. I mean, if you want life, be a river. Let it flow. Let it rip. Let it be given. Give and it will be given to you. You know, when I heard about this in the music, many times when I was preaching and there's people who gave their hearts to the Lord, and it's a wonderful thing to see, you know. We all love seeing the miracle of salvation, right? And when they share about the testimony about how they got saved and how God works in their lives, and then I was waiting eagerly, must be something I've said, isn't it, you know? They said, no. Oh, when during the worship, the music really touched me, and when they sing this chorus, you know, that Jesus loves me or something like that, God really spoke to me through the songs. God can use any one of us to touch multitude. You know, the day when classical music, Handel, you know, the composer, he wrote his oratorio, which is Messiah, which is one of the most famous oratorio that has been written in history, right? It took him like 48 hours to write the whole thing from start to the end. Didn't sleep, didn't eat, didn't do anything. He just write every part, every music, you know, all the instruments and stuff. And it took the whole orchestra 12 months to learn it. But for the first time when it was played, when the hallelujah chorus was sang, multitude in the congregation gave their heart to the Lord and got on their knees and praising God. When you play your note at the right time, at the right place, following the conductor's lead, who is Jesus Christ, by the way, when you played the note you meant to play at the right time, the instrument that you were given, and then at the right volume, beautiful music will rise from this church. Multitude will be saved because of what you do. You know, but the triangle guy, you say, man, no one will notice. I mean, if I don't play that, no, I mean, no one can hear it, right? You know, it's just a ding. But let me say this to you right now. Until that note is played, the symphony is incomplete. The song is incomplete. You know, my God is a God that multiplies. It says in this scripture here, 5 will become 10, 2 become 4. And I can guarantee you this too. If you only have 1, it will become 2. And 2 will become 4. You know the day when Jesus fed 5,000? You know the story. You all done Sunday school. It was a little boy's lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes that he has. And then one of the disciples, Andrew, found him and just said, hey man, let me take you to Jesus. And then took him to Jesus. And Jesus said, give thanks to the Lord, right? And then he gave the bread and the fishes to the disciple. And only when the disciples start to give them out, it multiplies. It multiplied at the time when the disciple handing them out. So it wasn't multiplied at the time when Jesus gave thanks. Yes, it was a miracle. It was performed by Jesus. No, absolutely. No question asked. But it was through the hands of the disciple where the multiplication took place. You want to experience the supernatural provisions of God? Well, do His work. Step out in faith. As you step out in faith, I can guarantee you, because in Mark chapter 16, it says this, as you preach the word of God, as you do His work, signs, miracles, and wonders follow. It's not like signs and miracles are there, therefore I follow. It's where you go, signs and miracles follows you. So you want to experience God at the multiplication? Well, let me tell you this. Step out in faith and do the work you're called to be. This is the church's core life solution. You have the life solution. You have Jesus Christ that is in you, who is the hope of glory. Step out in faith and exercise the talent that God has given you. Because if you don't, because there is a consequences, whoever has will be given more. And whoever doesn't have, for whatever he has, will be taken away. Do you wonder why, you know, people who just go from strength to strength? You can see people that are with talents, you're thinking, man, I am so envy what they have. It's because they put it to use. And if you put it to use, I can guarantee you, you will experience His glory. And I don't know why sometimes what's stopping us. And I think it is related to what I shared at the start. Fear stops us from reaching out. Fear of rejection stopping us to do the work of God. You know what the number one fear, when they did a research about the number one fear people voted for, do you know what it is? Public speaking is the number one. Do you know what the second one is? Fear of dying. So people rather die than to speak. Well, that's what the statistic says. Oh, no, I'm not going to share the word. No. Because they will rather die to do that. But God is going to use this church to reignite the passion to do the work of God. And I believe that God's going to really put that passion back in you today to do the work and also reaching out to this dark world. Now, I don't know about you. You know, when I talked about the end time and stuff, have you seen this world lately? You know, I must say, Melbourne used to be the most livable city in the world for a number of years. I think it was 7 years or something. Still is, yes. But unfortunately, it fell from number one spot to 16. That's quite a drop. I mean, even, you know, us living in Australia, I want Melbourne to win, right? I don't want Vienna to win. But the world that we're living is changing at such a fast pace. 10 years ago, maybe even five, I didn't think, you know, the second coming of the Lord could happen in my lifetime. But look at the events that is happening around this world. It's happening so fast. You know, all the terrorism. I mean, safe school program, I mean, seriously? Same-sex marriage 15, 20 years ago, that would never get on the news. But now we seem to be talking about it every day. I mean, where does this come from? And I ask this question, even thinking sometimes that, you know, the devil is not real. Well, that is greatest trickery to make you think that he's not real. But have a look around. All you have to do is look around the entertainment industry. I don't know about you, but recently I've been exposed to a game called Grand Theft Auto. Anyone played that game before? Grand Theft Auto. This game, and I mean, I don't mean any offense, is demonic. The game, the character, and let me explain to some of you that have never seen this game before. This is through my brother-in-law, and I've seen it. And it was like, the main character is to go around stealing cars, stealing money, beat up people, and do drag racings on the streets. And in there, there's minor here. Do you mind cover your ears? Even in this game, there's prostitution in the game. We think this is entertainment. Us parents letting our kids play games like that. All you have to do is open your eyes and have a look. His fingerprints are everywhere. Even you don't see the devil face to face, but his fingerprints are everywhere. But fear not. He has the victory. Jesus has the victory. And in him that we have the victory, you are more than conqueror. And we can, as you rise up, Christians, as you do the calling that you're called to be and step out in boldness, you can have victory in this place. You can have victory in your school, in your workplace, in your families, among your friends. And that's what you're called to be. To be more than a conqueror, not to be a seat warmer, but to be more than a conqueror because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. May I ask the music team to come forward? I think the song, the number three song, I can't remember the name of the song, was really what I'm looking for, the number three song. So I last asked the lead singer, what's the number three song? Your pastor song. You wrote the song? Oh, I like that song. That's awesome. Can we sing that again? And let the work of the miracle begin. Begin in our lives. When we pray for revival, yes, it is an act of God. But let me tell you this. When William Booth said this, this is the founder of Salvation Army, he said this, I am the move of God. You are the move of God. You are the move of God. The mirror of call of God is waiting to go through your hands. Just like the days that when Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You want to experience that? You want to experience the provisions of God? You want to be the one that who be the carrier of His glory? If you are, may I ask you to stand and let's sing this song together. As our hearts still focus on Jesus Christ, as we sing out this song about asking for the miracle of God to take place in our lives, in our school, in our church, in our community, in our family. And Lord God, let the hearts arise, Lord God, the spirit of boldness in this place, in my life. as I step out in faith, reignite all the passions in the church, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. I release the power of reignite the passion that in all of us right now in Jesus' name. Let miracle take place in our lives. No longer want to be ordinary, but I want to live a life that's extraordinary. A life that's full of life. A rivers, Christians, are flowing with the glory of God. Be stirred up right now in Jesus' name. Let's sing the chorus one more time. If God speaks to you today and you want to get the spiritual shovel out and dig out that talent, I ask you to come forward. Allow me this privilege to pray with you, because I want to see you experience. And today is the day that is the Lord has made. And let's rejoice and be glad in it.